Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You, where dazzling dialecticians disport with dizzying definitions.
The act of losing one's place in the middle of an oration and suddenly sitting down.
That's true. Absolutely true.
Very common.
Using personal experience, these death-defying denizens of the dictionary will share with you the thrills of a lifetime.
I once, as an actor, had to do a scene where I had to lick 400 envelopes without stopping. Let me tell you what an ordeal that was.
But you did it, and that shows stick-to-itiveness.
And at the helm, the firm directional hand of yours truly. Always together, always in command. Which, where are we? Oh, I know, we haven't started yet.
Oh, interesting.
We're coming up on Says You next.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. On the East Coast, people are being urged to get out of the way of what forecasters say will be a massive storm formed by the merger of Hurricane Sandy with two winter weather systems. The hurricane is expected to make landfall sometime early Tuesday morning, somewhere between Delaware and the New York, New Jersey area. However, National Hurricane Center forecaster Richard Pasch says where it makes landfall is not really what's important with this storm.
Well, the landfall is not an event you better focus on, because the strong winds extend hundreds of miles from the center, and in fact, the strongest winds could occur before the time of the exact landfall.
Several states have declared emergencies, and officials are warning of long power outages. With a little more than a week left until Election Day, the pressure is on for presidential contenders to spend as much time as they can in battleground states. But as NPR's Luis Schiavone reports, there are some things, like hurricanes, campaign strategists cannot control.
Hurricane Sandy's course left the delegate-rich state of Florida in the clear, and that's where GOP hopeful Mitt Romney campaigned against the president this weekend.
The president doesn't have a plan. He's out of ideas. He's out of excuses. And this November, Florida's going to make sure we put him out of office.
Mr. Obama spent an unusually balmy October Saturday in New Hampshire.
We've got to move forward, and that's why I am running for a second term as President of the United States.
But both men have now canceled trips to Virginia, which is due for heavy weather. The president's moving up a Washington departure for Florida to late Sunday, with a Monday stop in Ohio before a return trip to the White House. A planned Obama campaign trip to Colorado has been canceled. Luis Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.
A tsunami warning that sparked coastal evacuations in Hawaii has been downgraded to an advisory. The warning was triggered by a 7.7 magnitude earthquake off western Canada. But the waves that subsequently hit Hawaii this morning were smaller than expected. No major damage reported in either Hawaii or Canada. Voters in Ukraine selecting a new parliament today in an election that's being closely monitored in Europe and Russia. There have been widespread complaints about fairness, as NPR's Corey Flynn reports.
Thousands of international and domestic observers are monitoring the voting for seats in Ukraine's 450-member parliament. But some critics say the ruling Party of Regions has already guaranteed its victory by bending the rules during the election campaign. U.S. observers, including the National Democratic Institute, say the ruling party used government funds and facilities to support its candidates. And they say state-controlled media gave more positive coverage to the ruling party. In response, the government says it has worked with opposition parties to ensure that the vote will be free and fair. Corey Flintoff, NPR News, Moscow.
And you're listening to NPR News from Washington. A ceasefire this week in Syria was supposed to last 4 days to observe an important Muslim holiday, but it's not turning out that way. Activists say government forces are shelling suburbs of the capital of Damascus today, and they say government troops are also clashing with rebels in other areas of the country. On paper, the ceasefire began on a Friday. International peace envoy Lakhdar Brahimi had hoped to build on it to end the conflict in Syria. Police in Nigeria say at least 7 people have been killed and others injured in an explosion at inside a church in the northern city of Kaduna. NPR's Ofevia Quista-Arkton reports that a suspected suicide attacker detonated the bomb during Sunday Mass.
Some witnesses say the blast at St. Rita's Catholic Church in Kaduna came after at least one vehicle approached the church, apparently loaded with explosives. The blast shook the Malali neighborhood, leading to fears of renewed reprisal attacks and possible clashes between Muslims and Christians in the northern Nigerian city. Bombings in Kaduna State in June led to retaliatory raids between the two communities. The radical Islamist anti-government Boko Haram sect claimed responsibility for the deadly June attacks on churches in the Kaduna area, which sparked riots. Ofebia Quistarkton, NPR News, Dakar.
Game 4 of Major League Baseball's World Series, and the San Francisco Giants are on the verge of sweeping the Detroit Tigers. The Giants won two games in their own ballpark and won another shutout of the Tigers in Detroit last night. The Tigers were shut out just twice in the regular season. If the Giants win tonight, it would be their second World Series title in 3 years. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from Charles Schwab, providing financial guidance on how to go from saving for retirement to living in retirement. Charles Schwab. Talk to Chuck. Schwab.com.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for Says You in Nashville, Tennessee, comes from the good folks at WPLN, Nashville Public Radio.
Join our panelists and your host, Richard Scher.
Thank you. Thank you. From the Polk Theater at TPAC in Nashville, Tennessee, welcome to Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. She's the toast of the philanthropic community because she knows how to raise the bread. Francine Akbar. He's the talk of polite society, though he often leaves them speechless. Murray Horowitz. And he's a cultural lion, an intellectual tiger, the big cat himself, Mr. Tony Khan. And who's the leader today?
Oh, I'm
the gentle feline.
Yes,
right. The tiger cat.
Mr. Khan will be the captain. To my left, team two. She's been appointed the official belle of Says You. Maybe because she's the best clapper. Paula Lyon. He's been appointed the official Says You ombudsman, but he prefers to maintain an unlisted number. Arnie Reisman. And she is, and always has been, the official Says You sergeant at arms. So have a care and govern yourself accordingly in the presence of Carolyn Faye Fox. And who's going to captain?
Sergeant and now captain.
Captain
Fox.
Captain
at arms.
We've elevated her.
The captain at arms. Miss Fox.
Feline over there. Right.
Correct answers are worth 10 points or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners, get a pen and get some paper. Let's begin with a round of odd man out. Help comes from Donna Kingsley of Port, and I'm going to get this wrong, Port Hueneme, thank you very much. Port Hueneme, California. Thank you, Donna. And Bob Steele of Athens, Alabama. Which of the following does not belong in the list? 5 points for the correct answer, 5 more for telling me why, Carolyn. What's the odd one out? Bird. Feeder.
Feeder?
F-E-E-D-E-R.
Okay.
Land and line, L-I-N-E. Bird, feeder, land, and line. What's the odd one out?
Let's see.
clothes feeder doesn't work.
I don't know of any. What else goes with feeder besides bird?
Maybe feeder is the odd man out.
That's what I'm wondering.
Is feeder the odd man out?
It is not.
Okay, then. All right. We're not going in that direction.
Land.
Oh, we started off with a tough one. I thought
we did. Yeah. We certainly did.
What kind of feeder?
Flip the bird. No. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Flip the feeder. Yeah.
Flip the land.
Flip them a line.
Okay.
Is land the odd man out?
No.
Land is not the odd man out.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Bird is the odd one out.
Bird is the odd man out.
All
yes, that's
right.
Okay. You're not getting points for that, though.
I know,
well.
But what goes with
feeder?
No, I don't think they're going to get it. Is anyone
does
on
it
the
have to do with feeder, like feeder, feeding a river?
No.
That sort of thing? No.
Is anyone on the other side? No.
Timber feeder?
Timberland?
No.
The shoe? And
audience, tell them. Bottom.
Bottom.
Oh, bottom.
Bottom
feeder.
Oh.
Bottom
bird,
land?
There is no bottom bird that we knew of, but there is a bottom feeder, bottom land, and bottom line.
Oh.
Bottom is the key.
Bottom.
Oh, boy.
And the odd one out is, of course, bird.
Birds have bottoms.
Okay. Sorry, guys. Didn't know that would be quite that hard.
Why don't we put us in the dark and them in the light?
Yeah, that's what we're going to do. Try this one, Tony. What's the odd one out? Mountain lion.
Mountain lion.
Bear.
Bear.
Tiger.
Tiger.
And leopard.
It's bear.
And why would you say that?
Because all of the others are operating systems for Apple computers.
Yep.
That's exactly right. 10 points.
Yep.
It shows what I know. I said they're all members of the cat family.
Yeah. Couldn't slip that one by him. Mountain lion, tiger, and leopard are Mac OS's. The only one that isn't is bear, and I'm sure
not
that's
yet.
Coming.
Yeah.
All right, this is just rotten, Arnie, but I gave it to you as a tribute. Let's see if you can get it.
Don't do him any favors.
Right. This is so rotten, it's a tribute. I like that combo. Yeah.
Let's try it.
Yeah.
What's the odd one out? Electric eel.
Electric eel.
Ooh, cool. Yeah.
Cool.
Mountain goat.
Mountain goat.
Screech owl.
Screech owl.
And horny toad.
And a horny toad.
Okay, horny toad is the only one that is not delicious.
You've had screech owl?
I've never had it prepared right.
Yeah.
Yeah, what
it all
you do,
comes down
what
to
you
that.
Do is you stick it in an electric eel.
Yeah.
And then you wrap it up with a mountain goat.
Bottom feeder sauce.
This
are
is a
these
tough
all
one.
Team names?
The electric eels?
Yeah, you never. There have been weirder ones.
I suppose that. Yeah, well, we've got banana slugs, so.
Yeah.
It has to do with what they are.
Oh.
With what they are.
Ah, yes, well, we figured
wish
that.
Wish I'd thought of that.
Yeah.
Are they symbols?
No, they're not symbols. That's a great guess. No, they're not symbols.
What they are.
Is it their appearance?
No, not really. It's about their names and what they really are.
What they really
mean
so the electric eel
electric
is
really
not
isn't,
electric.
The eel really isn't electric. The owl doesn't screech. The toad is not really horny.
Horny, right.
But the goat does live up in the mountains.
Yes, he does, but that's not it. We went the wrong way on that. Does anybody on this
went
side have any thoughts?
Well, I would say just the other way around.
In what respect?
Well, in the sense that the horny toad is not horny, but the electric eel is electric, and the mountain goat.
No,
screech owl does screech. I was going to say the odd man out is the electric eel. Am I correct?
No.
Well.
Audience,
all the other three make sound.
Put us out of our misery.
Yeah,
here.
Audience, what do you think is the odd one out? Well,
they know.
Got it. Okay, I heard four different answers.
All right, way too hard, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. The electric, the odd one out is the screech owl, because a screech owl is an owl. An electric eel is not an eel, it's a fish.
Oh.
A horny toad is a lizard, actually, and a mountain goat is not truly a goat.
It's a sheep.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's ovine, not...
That's a boring answer, actually.
No points for that, but don't worry, I'll get them. This will be just
we're doing well so far. Very auspicious.
Yeah.
Just remember, it was a tribute to you, Arnie.
Let's try this one, Francine. What's the odd one out? Bad, B-A-D. can, C-A-N, classic, C-L-A-S-S-I-C, and unique. Bad, can, classic, and unique.
I mean, the joke is right there that unique has to be the odd man out, you know, but it's not that
unique,
funny.
Unique is the odd man out.
Well, so we got that, right?
Good. Yeah, okay. Yes.
And but all three of the other words have A in them. And unique doesn't.
Well,
all right, so is this about
music?
A second word?
They're all words that have been applied to me in my entertainment career. He's bad, let's can him, you know, he's a classic jerk. Never have I been called unique.
Well, you know, you actually use the meanings which give part of this answer away.
All right. Carolyn,
oh, really?
I think...
What do you think, Carolyn?
I think, well, unique just means one of a kind. It can't be qualified or quantified, whereas the other, bad can mean good, actually.
You know what? You're exactly right. Very good. Those words have two opposite meanings. They're antilogical words. Bad can mean, of course, bad or good in slang. Can mean to preserve or to get rid of. Oh. And classic, a classic case of the flu, it can be the primary example, or it can be a one of a kind. The only one that doesn't have two opposite meanings is unique. So very good, Carolyn. 5 points for these guys. And I will be very generous to you.
Thank you.
Paula, what's the odd one out? Lana Turner. Ava Gardner. Mary Barbato.
Who?
Barbato. B-A-R-B-A-T-O. Mia Farrow and Barbara Marx, M-A-R-X.
Okay.
Lana Turner's
out. She's the only one who was, not married to Frank Sinatra.
Is 10 points. Very good. Whoa.
Finally.
The only one of them not married to Frank Sinatra was Lana Turner. That's exactly right. And finally, here's the tribute to you, Murray. See if you can get this one. What's the odd one out? Katharine Hepburn, Spencer Tracy, Tom Hanks, Jason Robards, and Louise Rainer.
I think the odd one out is Louise Rainer.
And why would that be?
Because she did not win multiple Oscars.
Actually, she is not the odd one out, but you're on the right track here.
Okay, so we got Oscar winners, Katharine Hepburn, Spencer Tracy, Tom Hanks, Jason Robards. Spencer Tracy won three. I think Tom Hanks has won three. Jason Robards.
Maybe he won only one.
Jason Robards is the odd man out because he didn't win for Best Actor.
That is true.
Well, then, but that's not where you're
But
going.
There's, you know, and I will give you some points, but there's a bigger issue here involved, a more prominent...
Is Jason Robards the odd man?
Well, no, not in the way we look at this.
Wow.
It was Best Supporting Actor, you're right.
Oh, Tom Hanks is the odd one out.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Why?
Because he's not dead.
Let me get this straight. You want me to award him 10 points because Tom Hanks is not dead.
No.
The people have spoken. 10 points.
And he's the only one who ever came to our show.
Give me a break.
But Arnie knows the real answer.
Is Louise Rainer
Or he thinks he does.
The odd one out is Katharine Hepburn.
Oh.
All right? And the reason for that is because the other four all won back-to-back Oscars.
Louise Rainer won back-to-back.
Yeah, Tracy in 37 and 38 for Captain's Courageous and Boys Town. Hanks in 93, 94 for Philadelphia and Forrest Gump. Jason Robards in 76 and 7 for All the President's Men and Julia. And Louise Rainer for The Great Ziegfeld.
Oh.
Yeah,
And The Good Earth. And that also puts an end to that round of Odd Man Out, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
And... let's move on to round two, which is played with a little musical help from the B.G. Adair Trio. Thank you, folks. It's the first of the Says You Bluffing rounds. Carolyn, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The others have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot good enough to fool Tony's team. 10 points up for grabs. To Tony if he can find the bluffer, or to you, Carolyn, if he can't. Take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word rastral. R-A-S-T-R-A-L. Rastral. Folks? Just a quick reminder, coming up this fall, Says You heads to Syracuse, New York, November 16th and 17th for live performances of the show. Tickets, information, and details for all Says You tapings are available at SaysYou.net. And this holiday season, we're proud to announce the publication of our second book, Says Us, The Scripts and Quips of Says You, Volume 2. It's the consummate travel companion, a thoughtful gift. Everything to make the winter shorter and more fun at SaysYou.net. That's SaysYou. Says You returns after this from home. Says You again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at SaysYou.net. Just follow that show downloads link and find high quality copies available. The B.G. Adair Trio. Yes, sir. That's Roger Spencer on the bass, Chris Brown on drums, and B.G. Adair on the piano. Thank you very much, folks. We have had a little time with the word rastral. We will go first to Carolyn Faye Fox.
Rastral. That's what Scooby-Doo says looking up at the stars. Rastral! No. Rastral. In traditional performances of folk tales, the rastral is a troll or other questionable character who provides humorous asides to the audience.
Oh, another ooh. See that? A droll troll is what we're talking about here.
We're talking about rastral projection.
Oh, ouch. A troll that provides humorous asides,
yes,
is a rastral. Could be that, or it could be something else. Arnie?
It's apparently a slang term from the yellow journalism period of about the end of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th that referred to a deliberate misuse of a word to change someone else's meaning. In other words, a lie. in reportage.
A deliberate misuse. Of a word.
To change the meaning of someone else's quote.
To change the meaning of what someone says. Mm-hmm. Sort of like the old straw man thing we got going there. That could be it.
My experience is that's called journalism, actually. You just get it wrong, no matter what.
That could be it, or it could be something else. What say you, Paula?
Well, I mean, everybody knows that I kind of love music, and I always loved it from grade school, and grade school's the last place where I saw one of these little gizmos. In my school, it had five pieces of chalk in it, and it would be used to draw the music staff.
Oh, the thing that draws the staff.
To draw
the five
music.
The five the pieces of chalk that draw the staff across the blackboard.
Screech like a mother, too.
Yeah, oh, boy. That's for sure.
Right.
So a rastral is either the five pieces of chalk that draw the lines on the blackboard, a deliberate misuse of words to mislead, or the old droll troll. It is one of those three, and the choice, Tony, is yours.
I'm at sea because we don't have anything that's of Scottish origin that isn't a naval term or that's something to do with heavy machinery.
Right.
And Greece.
Except possibly for the drawing the musical device. There is a word in Spanish to scratch, which is rascar. And I wonder if rastro might have to do the scratch, because all I can hear is the sound that makes on the blackboard.
Frankly, I think that's why Paulie is so inventive with that,
because
it's kind
she
of
speaks.
Because after all, that device is not meant to sound horrible.
She had an Argentinian smirk.
I kind of like the brownies, the troll, the
I
troll?
Do too. Yes.
Like a medieval kibitzer.
Yes.
A troll, a
rastral.
But what would they be doing? I mean, what kind of play would they be involved with?
Oh,
rastral.
Yeah.
I mean, humorous asides, it's one thing if people do give monologues, but humorous asides, you know, elbow in the rib. This is.
They did that in Commedia dell'arte, and they did it in minstrelsy. There was the interlocking.
All right.
I don't know. You make a good case. Played. No, you raise a good point. I don't know.
Well, I like your case better than my point. All right, let's go. We're going to go with number one, just two, which is
you
the troll.
Seen
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do.
All right.
We might be wrong, but we're going to be wrong together.
Thank you.
Carolyn, they have reached unanimity. They all think that the rastral is the droll troll, the troll that provides the humorous asides. Is that, in fact, what it is?
They think it's a troll. Rastral, please fake a definition.
For which you get 10 points. All right, audience, you got a 50-50 shot. How many of you think it's the deliberate misuse of words? How many of you think it's the thing that draws the lines across the blackboard? Well, Paula, just about three-quarters of the audience think that the rastral draws lines across the blackboard. Does it?
A five-pointed writing device used to make musical staff lines on paper.
What it does.
Which comes from the Argentinian to scratch, right?
Yeah. Que se yo, I didn't know that word.
10 points.
She smirked her way to a victory.
She did indeed.
Let's go on to round three.
It had a name. I'm delighted with that one.
What the
I'm just delighted.
Oh,
with that.
I agree completely.
I may have to keep this.
Is it going to go up there with Clyte?
Yeah, Clyte. Might go up there with Clyte, my most favorite of all time.
And Clyte, of course, means
the act of losing one's place in the middle of an oration and suddenly sitting down.
That's true. Absolutely true.
Flight, fright. Very common.
17 years. It's Paula's favorite word she's ever done.
But this is going to, I didn't know this one. But.
Let's go on to round three. Every so often I like to quiz these guys on the meanings of words we've heard before. Former bluffing words.
Oh.
Please define the following words from Says You Past with which you should have at least passing familiarity. Carolyn, what's meant by oxter, O-X-T-E-R?
Armpit.
Is exactly right.
Very good.
You remembered. Oxter.
Not a clue. Well,
Tony, try this one. What might be meant by verso? V-E-R-S-O.
Verso. That's not the unsuccessful Heimlich maneuver.
No, that's not that.
That's never verso. Oh, God. Musical term?
No. It's the opposite of recto.
It is the opposite of... He's exactly right.
So it's the other side of something.
And the other side of what?
A coin. Also of a sheet. Of a printed
parchment.
Sheet, right?
Parchment.
You know what? I'm going to give you the 10 points. It's the even-numbered pages of a book.
Right.
That's what it is. So very good. 10 points for that. All right. Excellent. All right. This is a tough one, Orin, but try it.
You know,
I've been giving him tough ones all day long. What might be meant by, or what was meant by, trank? T-R-A-N-K.
Oh, that sounds very familiar. But
it does.
T-R-A-N-K?
You know,
for 16 years.
So it has nothing to do with
T-R-A-N-K?
Valium?
T-R-A-N-K. I have been doing this show in a trance, so I have no idea what you're talking about.
You didn't write a trank you note?
A trank.
Trank.
Small pill?
It is not a small pill. I'm going to give you a hint, because I think it's only fair. This was a tough one. Hold up your hand. Look at it.
Is it the line that goes down into your wrist?
Nope, that's not it.
Is it the one that curves at the top of the palm?
No, it has nothing to do with what's...
Is it the tattoo that says Loretta?
He's lying. One says thunder, the other says steel.
We have sort of like triangles.
It's not the
line.
Is
it where two lines meet?
No, it has nothing to do with the lines or even the skin of the
hand. I seem to have more of them than I recall.
Yeah.
In your last trank, right?
It has nothing to do with the skin of the hand.
The shape?
No.
The skin of the hand.
It has to do with something you put on the hand.
Something you put on the hand.
Gloves. Right. What?
Does anyone remember what trank means?
Was that a form?
No.
The glove where you had the fingers exposed?
Oh, it was the poker thing.
You're right, Arnold. It is the palm area of a glove, not the fingers.
Not the fingers.
A glove is composed of the fingers, the trank, and the collar. So I'm going to give you 3 points because it was a noble struggle and the toughest word in this whole... Bit.
So, Richard, just to clarify, those gloves I actually have a pair of woolen gloves with just the palm is covered and the fingers are out.
Right.
And so is that a trank?
It's all trank and no fingers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you work all day and that's the tranks you get.
Bony fingers. Ouch.
Okay.
All right.
Response like that would daunt a lesser man, but no.
Yeah. Right.
Why do they call it the palm?
I don't know why they call it the palm.
Why they don't? No, why don't they call it the palm of the glove?
It's the trank. Well, because it also involves the back.
Oh, okay.
The back and the palm of the glove. It's the body of a glove.
Got it.
It's the trank. Try this one, Francine. What is meant by omphalos kepsis?
Yes.
Oh, I remember this.
It has something to do with the belly button.
It does.
Navel gazer.
It is the contemplation of the navel. That's what it is. Omphalos kepsis.
What is that word again?
Omphalos what?
Can you spell that word again?
O-M-P-H-A-L-O-S-K-E-P-S-I-S. Omphalos kepsis. Try this one, Paula. What's meant by bang tail?
Oh, wait a minute. What's that O? Do you know what it is, Carolyn?
Yeah. Yes.
Bang tail.
It's an advertisement.
Yeah,
it is.
It's the thing that falls out of the magazine.
It flaps out. Yes, actually 10 points.
Insert
very good. It is the detachable extension on the back of an envelope with a perforated edge containing the marketing.
Tear it off. And,
that's
that comes with your credit card bills all the time.
Yeah, very good.
Buy this stapler. Or
right,
whatever.
You get one credit card bill and a couple of bang tails. And try this one, Murray. What might be meant by the verb gazump? G-A-Z-U-M-P, gazump.
It's my head hitting the table when I try to think of what this word might mean.
Reported. Yeah.
Gazumped. Your head might hit the table when
to
you...
To fill up your tank.
It's being absorbed.
It's otherwise known as gazup.
Oh, gazump.
Gazump.
God. Does it have anything to do with the digestive tract?
Nothing.
Okay. Help me. I missed that show, by the way.
Me too.
Oh, you might have missed that show. That's true. You missed gazump, Francine?
It's not ringing bells.
Not... Does anybody up there know that on either side?
It refers to the way you slouch when you sneeze, as in gazumpite.
Oh, you mean the loss of stature?
Does it have anything to do
she
with
gets applause?
Anything to do with locomotion?
Nothing whatsoever.
Gazumping along.
I'm going to turn it over to the audience. Audience, 10 points here.
It has to do with real estate.
It absolutely does have something to do with real estate.
Great.
Do you know what?
It's his grandmother.
It is to raise the price of something after you've already negotiated a price.
Wow.
And it particularly applies to real estate. G-A-Z-U-M-P, gazump.
Wow.
Wow.
To raise the price after you've set the price. Very good in the back. Nice job on that round, you guys. Good to go back every now and then. Let's take a moment and thank our scorekeepers for this game. That is Sarah Amos and Daniel Williams. Thank you, guys, for keeping the score. And now let's put them to work, because this is round four, which is Tony's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word. Two will bluff. 10 points, Carolyn. If your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few moments to come up with a definition for the word niddle. K-N-I-T-T-L-E.
Niddle.
Niddle. Folks? So many ways to enjoy Says You. You can listen each week, as we hope you do. You can download a show if you miss it. You can attend a live performance like our upcoming shows in Syracuse, New York, or Boston. And now there's the book Says Us, the scripts and quips of Says You, volumes 1 and 2, now available for gifts, for traveling, for holding open the back screen door for the dog. Information about all these items is available at saysyou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. We hope you'll take a look. Join the fun. Shop till you drop. It's all things Says You at saysyou.net. Briefly, Says You pauses. Just long enough for a few interstitial announcements. We'll be right back. Thank you, BG. Thank you, guys. That was the B.G. Adair Trio. Thank you very much for giving us a lovely afternoon. And for giving us a little bit of time with the word nittle. We will go first to Tony Kahn.
It's a popular craft that involves the ability to knit, but with no ability to follow the pattern. So it's very skillful, goes very fast, but it has led to several items in my possession, the one-armed sweater and the lovely scarf with the big hole in the middle. It also means to waste time in mindless activity. I niddled the week away watching the entire Jersey Shore series, looking for enlightenment.
To waste time in mindless activity is to niddle.
Niddle.
Could be. Or it could be something else. Francine, what say you?
Niddle refers to the natural elements that are placed in a kiln to give different shades to a glaze in ceramics. Sometimes you would put in pine needles, different things that as they burn, they give different shadings.
Niddle. The elements that you put into a kiln to shade ceramics.
It's like when you leave a stick of chewing gum in the dryer in your pants. Is that the same kind of concept?
Exactly the same.
Exactly. Yeah.
No.
Ceramic shading. Those elements that provide color in ceramics could be that, or it could be a third thing. What say you?
This is actually a word of Scottish origin.
Yet another.
And it means a mispronounced thorn.
A mispronounced right. Thorn?
So, what's that thorn? It's a nittle. No, it's a nettle. Oh, no, it's a nittle. No, it's a nittle.
I don't deserve that, but thank you.
But no, actually, it's a drawstring on a purse is a nittle.
Oh, we're gonna
go back. A drawstring on a purse is a nittle. Could be that. It could be those things that you put into a kiln to provide shading for ceramics, or it could be to waste time in some mindless activity. It is one of those three, and the choice, Carolyn, is yours.
All right. Well, I think what you use to color ceramic is called a glaze.
Yeah, usually.
Which you apply directly.
No matter how many pine needles you put in.
Yes. Yeah. Right. And to waste time in mindless activity, niddle sounds sort of like fritter time away.
Muddle.
Yeah. And drawstring on a purse, I think, just might be it.
Since we don't know what that's called normally, why not?
Why isn't it called a drawstring on a purse?
Because it could be called a niddle. If there's a knitted or crocheted sort of purse, that could be called the niddle.
The niddle?
But okay, let's do that.
Okay.
Looks like we have a plane to catch. Murray?
You're all going to go with niddle is the
Let's
drawstring on a purse.
Murray,
that was your definition. Is that in fact what niddle means?
Nittle, a drawstring that draws together a purse.
Yeah. That's exactly what it means. This week's Spotlight Round comes at the request of Bev Billings of Salt Lake City, Utah. Way back when, Bev writes, you did a category with anagrams of presidential names. It's the only time I ever got all the answers in one question. Since then, my memory's going along with my skills, so I'm wondering how I'd do now. Can you repeat that round in a spotlight? We can and will, Bev. Back we go to season 4, when Flash Wiley joined the gang for that particular round of presidential anagrams. Please rearrange the letters in the following clues to reveal a presidential name. Carolyn, love laconic, dig, LoveLaconic.
Oh, it was Lincoln.
Comma, dig.
Scramble.
And this, look at the clue.
So this is our first and last
name. Silent Cal, Calvin Coolidge?
Calvin Coolidge is exactly right. 10 points. That's how you play the game.
Wait a minute.
Love laconic. The clue being laconic. Silent Cal.
Yes.
Very good. Calvin Coolidge.
Oh, I see. Wow. That's wild. Okay.
See that?
Got it. Okay.
Flash, try this. With law, Lord, am I fat.
With law?
Loft.
With law.
L-A-W?
Yes.
Taft?
Oh.
William Howard Taft.
William Howard Taft, that's right.
William Howard Taft is exactly right.
Right.
The clue, of course, being the girth of the situation.
Yes.
Arnie, try this one. Loin, L-O-I-N, comma. Calm till win. C-A-L-M-T-I-L.
Wait a minute. Calm, C-A-L-M.
Yep.
Yeah.
Till, T-I-L.
Yeah.
Win, W-I-N. Loin, calm till win.
Loin.
Loin.
Ooh, in the audience.
Loin.
Calm till.
Any thoughts from that side? Looks like a blank slate. Any thoughts on the other side?
It's William somebody, huh?
Clinton?
Well, that's exactly right.
There you go.
Loin.
Loin, calm till win is William Clinton. Which I think we've covered sufficiently, don't you? Let's go quickly on. Francine, the unsuccessful candidate for the presidency whose name scrambles Sore Sport.
Sore Sport.
The unsuccessful candidate for presidency whose name scrambles Sore Sport.
Well, there's no Al Gore in there. There's no Richard Nixon in there.
No.
What are the letters again?
Sore.
Sore Sport. S-O-R-E-S-P-O-R-T.
Oh.
Ooh, the other side knows. I think the time is up.
Okay.
We go to the other side.
Ross Perot.
Ross Perot is exactly right.
Yes.
Sore Sport decodes as Ross Perot. Paula, G.I.'s divided, he won the war.
G.I.'s.
G.I., apostrophe S,
divided,
comma, Eisenhower. He won the war.
Eisenhower.
Dwight Eisenhower.
White David Eisenhower.
Dwight
David Eisenhower is correct. 10 points.
Okay.
And finally, Barry, this one's tough. Insane Anglo warlord.
We've had that as a president?
Oh.
Insane Anglo warlord.
No.
I'm sure we're not going to win points with whatever library we're insulting at this moment.
No.
Who was president during the Spanish American?
No, it's not that one, actually.
No.
That looks like a blank slate. The other side, do you have any thoughts?
No.
Not good ones.
We were wrong.
Any thoughts from the audience?
George Washington.
No, actually, it's Ronald Wilson Reagan.
Reagan. Ronald.
Oh, that's not insulting.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Let's go home now.
That's our spotlight round for this week. If there's a memorable moment you haven't heard in years, let us know. We'll send our crack staff into the archives and do our best to find your favorite. You can register your choice at SaysYou.net. That's SaysYou. That's our look back. Now, back to the present.
Let's go out today. I'm going to give We've done this category several times before, but we have gotten a lot of mail on it. So we're going
to
try it one more time. People seem to like this. I'm going to give you directions to a famous world tourist destination in three steps. The faster you can tell me where we're going, the faster we'll get there.
Tourist destination?
Yeah, tourist destination. An example, about 2 hours west of the Badlands.
2 hours west
of the Badlands? Mount Rushmore.
Yeah. We've had that before, yes.
Yeah.
2 hours by what?
Yeah, I know.
Right. All right, let's try this. Carolyn, famous tourist destination, roughly midway between Tupelo and Jonesboro, off Route 55.
Between Tupelo and where?
Jonesboro. Between Tupelo.
Off Route 55.
Mississippi and Jonesboro. Another clue.
Okay.
Roughly
midway between Tupelo and Jonesboro, add about 2 miles east and 6 miles south of Mud Island River Park.
Ooh, Mud Island River Park.
Ooh, they're mumbling out there in the audience.
Is it a cave?
It is not a cave. Well,
wait a minute. Is it a grave?
I'm sorry?
Is it a grave?
Well, again, I don't know how to answer those questions. I really don't.
No, where are you?
I think I should have to give you the last clue. Midway between Tupelo and Jonesboro, east and south of Mud Island River Park, located at 3734 Elvis Presley Boulevard.
Oh!
I mean, his birthplace.
Graceland?
No.
Not Graceland?
Graceland.
Oh, but midway. Okay.
That's 3 points.
All right.
3 points for that.
What wow. kind of a cave?
That's where you find Graceland.
We got there by car when we went there.
Yeah.
And we didn't go through Tupelo.
No,
oh,
okay.
We happened to be in Memphis when we went there.
We were in Memphis, yeah.
All right, try this one, Tony. About 20 miles east of the capital, just north of the A4.
There's this incredible pothole there.
There is an incredible pothole.
Costing you about $2,500 in repairs.
Yeah, so... No. The A4, it means it's English. It's in England.
Yeah, A4 is...
It is not, actually.
It's there's not another.
Not?
Okay. B4, I answer.
Yeah.
A4. Is it in Canada?
It is not.
Oh, golly.
To that, add just below the S in the River Marne at Chessy.
So it's French.
It is.
So it's below the Marne, the Rock of the Marne. Oh, is it Versailles?
No.
It's the world's largest piece of brie.
Could be the world's largest piece of brie.
Like
not really sure
cheddar.
Of that.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Went west of the capital, Murray. It's the other way.
The east
of the capital. All right.
So does it have to do? Sad. Is it a religious site?
It should not really. No. About 20 miles east of the capital, just below the just north of the A4, just below the S in the River Marne. And just past Buzz Lightyear and Laser Blast.
Oh, Disney.
No, it's Disney. World.
Euro Disney.
Euro
is right.
Disney.
3 points for that effort. Euro Disney. Try this one, Arnie. Roughly 150 miles west of Lucknow, off State Highway 62. Lucknow. Lucknow. Off State Highway 62.
150 miles west?
Mm-hmm.
Of Lucknow. Of Highway 62.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking Germany?
We are not.
You're talking
the United States.
We are not.
You're not.
No, this was the one that the first one always throws you off and the second one brings you back home.
Okay, well, I have, no.
The second one is just past the Taj Protected Forest at the bend of the Yamuna.
Taj Mahal, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, could be.
Yeah.
Taj Mahal?
The Taj Mahal is exactly right. 7 points. Nice job. Try this one, Francine. Roughly 400 miles equidistant from two South American capitals.
The equator.
No.
Sugarloaf.
No. It's a good guess.
It's a good guess.
To the South American capitals add in the mountains, in a valley, below Manu National Park.
In the mountains, in a valley,
below Manu National Park.
Excavating for a mine.
In the mountains.
What's in the mountains but a valley?
Are we in Brazil?
We are not, actually.
Are we in Venezuela?
We are not.
Are we in Chile?
I don't know about you, but I'm not, no.
Argentina?
No.
Not a volcano.
No. And to those two, to the equidistant from the South American capitals in the mountains below Manu National Park, add at the end of a tortuous uphill trek from Aguas...
Machu Picchu.
That's right. From Aguas Calientes, Peru.
Wow.
Of course.
3 points for that. Try this one. I love this, Paula. This is a dirty trick, but we'll try it anyway. At the southern terminus of the Marseille ferry on the Bay of Algiers.
Casablanca. The Casbah.
I'm sorry?
Casablanca.
The Casbah. I don't believe
right.
he got that. I don't believe he got that.
Well, he said south.
I didn't even have a chance to go uppermost in the mind of Pepe Le Pew. I really didn't even get to go there.
Come with me to the Casbah.
All right, and finally...
So did we get 10 for that?
You got 10 points for that one. And finally, yes. Try this one, Murray. About 25 miles south of the Schofield Barracks Forest Reserve.
Schofield Barracks.
Doesn't that sound familiar?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sure does. Forest Reserve.
Yep.
Schofield Barracks. Are we in the British Isles now?
No, we are not.
Are we in the United States?
Well, yes.
Oh. Well, yes.
Well, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Schofield Barracks.
To 25 miles south of the Schofield Barracks at just about a mile south of Duke Kahanamoku Lagoon.
Oh, all right. Well, it could be Mauna Loa.
It is.
Not,
no,
Mauna Loa. Paula, don't... Don't look. There's such disdain in your eyes. Like, you fool.
We
you
finally know something.
Oh, hold on a minute.
What?
And
wait,
she...
wait,
no,
wait.
No,
wait.
Never mind.
Wait.
No,
don't tell me.
Wait.
We're in Hawaii.
We're in Hawaii for sure. And this. Oh, Pearl Harbor.
It is not Pearl Harbor.
Oh!
It is not Pearl Harbor. 25 miles south of the Schofield Barracks, just a mile south of Duke Kahanamoku Lagoon, in the shadow of Diamond Head, on the southern coast of Hawaii. Oahu, I'm sorry, on the southern coast of Oahu.
It's not the monument, is it? The Pearl
USS
Harbor
USS
monument?
Arizona. No,
that's in Pearl Harbor.
A mile south
Harbor?
Of...
Did you say it was in
Waikiki?
Waikiki? Waikiki Beach.
Waikiki. The beach yeah. at Waikiki, Waikiki is Thanks. Exactly right.
Waikiki.
3 points. 3 points for that. It turns out that this was a very tough day. So that 73-point score for Carolyn Faye Fox's team is pretty impressive, and it's a winning total. Congratulations. Amen. Winners this week. That is all we have time for. Thanks so much to Rob Gordon, Henry Fennell, and the unbelievable Donna Robinson, all the good folks here at WPLN in Nashville. Thanks. And thanks also to these Nashville audiences. You guys have been great.
Yes,
thanks
indeed.
To Teresa Ellithorpe and J.R. Hutchins here at TPAC. Sharon Salkin write the words. Antonio Oliart mans the meters. And Zach Moore is our minister of Etheria. Once every few weeks, we get to remind you that this show is best when we get your questions, when we get your comments, and most of all, when you show up. Thank you, Nashville, for always showing up. See you next week. Support for Says You in Nashville, Tennessee comes from the good folks at WPLN, Nashville Public Radio. Benjamin, give him the skinny.
Says You, created and produced by Pippin and Finch, Boston.
Ensworth High School is hosting an open house Sunday, November 11th at 2 p.m. at the high school Highway 100 campus. The open house will give a glimpse of the Ensworth experience with information on the curriculum, sample classes around the Harkness tables, tours of the facilities, and talks with current students. More information is available at ensworth.com. The Ensworth School, where ideas live and breathe.
Celebrating 50 years of community service and community support, this is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.